Welcome back to Cocoa Radio, where we go behind the scenes with Mac OS X developers around the world to learn about how they use Apple's Cocoa frameworks to create great software. Today, we'll be joined by three guys in Munich, Germany, Martin Pittenauer, Martin Ott, and Dominic Wagner, known as the Coding Monkeys. They were the recipient in 2003 of the O'Reilly Innovators Award for their application Subetha Edit, which is a collaborative text editor. Be sure and grab a copy from their website, codingmonkeys.de. That's .de as in Deutschland. And before we get started, I want to send a special thanks to all the listeners out there who sent an email and posted comments on the blog, words of encouragement, guest suggestions, etc. Glad this podcast has been of interest to so many folks. Hope we continue to reach new developers on other platforms that are looking for a way to leverage their knowledge and to build great application. It would only enrich the Mac community and grow the market for everyone else. Please help spread the word, get more listeners on, and please continue to send comments and suggestions for guests you'd like to hear from. Next week, we have the creators of Comic Life. It's Plask, plasq.com. They have requested that the listeners to Cocoa Radio contribute questions for their interview. So we're going to record it next week, post the questions on the blog. You'll see some information there. And in turn, they're going to be giving away a number of licenses, free licenses to Comic Life. So if you haven't checked that out, please do. It's a great application. Now, let's roll right into what you came for, the interview with Coding Monkeys.
So, welcome to the show, guys.
Hi.
Guten Tag. This is the
fourth.
Guten Abend. Oh, yeah. This is Cocoa Radio show number 4, and the Coding Monkeys are online, live from Munich, Germany. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves? And then we got.
Okay, let's begin with the simple one. It's Dominic on the left.
It's smaller, but you won't difference it.
Yeah, I'm Martin Ott.
And I'm Martin Pittenauer.
Yeah, and we have the three Coding Monkeys.
The three Coding Monkeys. Hey, where did y'all ever come up with that name?
Oh, I guess it came to me while driving on the Autobahn. I thought about Monkey Island and how coding monkeys are a part of our education here in computer science over here in Germany. Often the actual coding part is referred to as done by coding monkeys, mm-hmm. and the computer scientists design the application. So I thought, while we're doing the coding, so we're coding monkeys, and that's how it came to that.
It's certainly a memorable name. That's a lot of times people try to remember where they saw a certain app, so I think you guys did good with that.
Thanks.
Your website looks really great. You guys look totally pro there. So you're all known best for this, your work with Hydra.
We started the development of Hydra actually in December 2002. Before that, we had started doing Cocoa development at university and a few projects there, and that were also the time and place we three met. And we got the idea to do our own Cocoa application, and the main motivation was submitting this application to the Apple Design Awards 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started in December 2002 with a long brainstorming, because we had to come up with an idea what we actually want to code. And the resulting idea was Subetha Edit.
Subetha Edit.
Yeah. And we started with the idea around doing a program around Rendezvous. Rendezvous was very hip at that time, as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought about a cool networking application, and we did the brainstorming for hours, and then we came up with just doing collaborative editor, text editor.
Hmm.
We thought that would be a solved problem at that time, but as soon as we Googled around and looked for products and other software, we actually didn't found anything, just a few research prototypes, which didn't make it into products. And I think one of the problems the other implementers had was the complex configuration setup, which we thought we could solve with a Rendezvous and Bonjour. So that was the actual start with Subetha Edit.
And just to clarify, Bonjour is now the new name for Rendezvous.
Yeah, they had to rename it.
I don't like it as much.
we also like Rendezvous better, but well.
I'm surprised Apple couldn't pay someone enough to use that name.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They managed to get GarageBand, but not Rendezvous.
Not Rendezvous, no.
That's too bad. So you guys are based in Munich there, obviously met there at university. What's it like being a developer in Germany? I know you're a long way from Cupertino, but you managed to get to WWDC this year, and I guess the year before that?
Yeah.
You've been, twice recently?
Yeah, we've been the last two or three times, depending on who you're asking. being a Cocoa developer in Germany is a bit of an isolated thing. There are a few Cocoa developers around the area, like Binds, for example, who do iStop Motion. But besides that, it's really, really spread thin in Germany and in Europe. Mm-hmm. There's an half yearly meeting of Cocoa and WebObjects developers, but it's about 30 to 40 people all over Europe, so it's really not that much development that's going on here.
And it's always all over Europe, so you usually have to travel a big distance for just meeting one day. So
big distance in European terms.
Yeah.
Sure.
People might know the company Elgato, which is also based in Munich and does the ITV products.
Oh, that's right.
So,
yeah. They've been getting a lot of attention lately.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So, I think we are three Cocoa developer companies in Munich.
Yeah, so actually the density of Cocoa developers in Munich is quite high.
Yeah. Well, I know we had to schedule this recording for today because in 2 weeks' time, is it, you guys will be totally immersed in a beer culture?
Yeah.
Big party there?
Sure.
Yeah.
Munich is crammed with people in September with the Oktoberfest, and we'll also be there.
So you guys take off the whole month, right?
No, not, not really.
We can't afford it.
And we have a slightly problem that we have to do our final exams about at the start of Oktoberfest, so
might be a bit difficult.
Yeah, but it's funny you mentioned Bas Anderson before, and actually he may be coming to the Oktoberfest this year, and we're looking forward to meeting him there.
So maybe we can start a big Mac developer gathering at Oktoberfest this year.
You can wear your Cocoa t-shirts and recruit some developers in the beer houses, right?
Yeah.
Can show them the good life. Yeah, on Buzz's blog, he says he's coming, so maybe he can help you kick off some things. You know, he's been really successful at hosting those dinner parties and whatnot around Apple events. So
he's doing a great job in socializing the people and getting all guys together at the WWDC.
Yeah.
Well, I'm working to bring him on the show. He's he started a new team in Cupertino, so we'll see how the schedule works out.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's three of you on the team. Have there always just been three of you?
Actually, at the development of the first version, we have been four. But later on, it turned out that the three of us are working better together, and we had some slight difficulties. So now three people is a good choice. The problem is if you're working in small groups, and then you really have to it has to work out great. Otherwise, it can get very difficult. And we're not blaming anyone, but it's just worked this way for us. So.
Yeah, what Dominic says is really important. When you start a small company, or it wasn't a small company at this point, we just wanted to make a cool product, it's really important that the few people who start working on this project are get together and understand each other, and because you're spending a lot of time together, and it's always important to know each other and get together.
And actually, we had the experience before, because all three of us did the project before that, and the first guy that isn't with us anymore wasn't part of this, so this was quite of a... We didn't have an experience how this would work out, and sadly it didn't, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's also much easier to make decisions if you're three people, because you always have a team majority.
Yeah.
That's right.
It can be
a
problem if you're four people and there's two to two face off.
Get someone a tiebreaker, huh?
Yeah.
And actually for ongoing plans, it's really great to be three people, because
because we aren't earning nearly enough to support even one, and we want to make this into a company after final exams. And so to feed three people is much less of an effort than to have to feed four people. So we're looking forward to manage that.
And we also recommend to other developers who want to start a company or are doing products to start, I think at least there should be two people or best three, because it helps much if you have someone you can exchange your thoughts with, and it's much more motivating if you have a partner or two.
Especially timing issues. If I look at my hard disk and see how many started programs there that are there, it's really a bad thing. I really could do many of them, put them into a product state, but doing this alone isn't. You don't have the discipline to do that.
Mm-hmm. Somebody to push you.
You want to have to program the nice part, the exciting one, and then you leave it there.
Yeah.
And actually doing all the groundwork, the UI stuff, it's really hard thing to do, and it can be very, very tiring. And if you're more than one person, then actually you pull you through.
And all developers know shipping the product is the hardest part. So if you're more than one person, that's really great.
Well, you guys had a great target date to shoot for, those Apple Developer Design Awards. So it sounded like a real motivator. So is the future in Germany after exams? Or are you looking to relocate or make any major changes like that?
At the moment, the future is in Germany. Yep. We're trying to getting some base operations here. We're not going for a big
headquarters.
but we don't have the luxury like Delicious Monster to sit in a cafe and use the internet there, because it's too expensive here. And so we do something in between. So
I was just thinking about Zoka there. So you don't necessarily need a big headquarters to build an app, do you?
I think we just will use a spare room in an apartment, and then we start off.
Let's dive into your main, I guess, your primary app here, Sabitha Edit. Looks like you're at version 2.2. I've seen it for, I guess, the past couple of years now. You know, evolve, you know, for usage in conferences. Was that a shock to see people using it collaboratively for note-taking at O'Reilly, what was it, OS 10 conference?
Initially, yes. Yes, it wasn't on our radar of things we thought to use it. It was always taking notes at meetings and something like that. And then all of a sudden, I think the first use was at ETCon.
Yeah, Emerging Technology Conference in 2003.
Right. Yeah, ETCon.
It was a month after the release, and we were quite excited that Sabitha had got so big reviews from the ETCon there, and
so much attention.
We heard about Flocks that it was used there.
Totally overwhelming at that point.
Well, that's how all the notes were published from the event. I mean, I felt like I was there. You know, all you heard about was all the Windows toting laptop, toting users weeping loudly because they couldn't participate. And they were so surprised that, what was it, you know, 50% or better of the attendees were on PowerBooks.
On Mac,
And we're really Mac people, so that really satisfies us.
Yeah, that was great. Probably inspired a lot of folks to pick up Macs after that.
We hope so.
How are people using it for coding? You know, let's say coding versus other collaborative writing uses. I noticed you support a lot of various syntax for languages. And when is it a better fit than a full IDE?
Well, if you're working on scripts in a non-project context, like you're just writing a few Perl scripts or Ruby, or it's generally a better fit, because in Xcode you always have the project management around, and in Sabitha you can concentrate on one file and do your thing there, and it's also it also has an extendable syntax highlighter, so you can really extend the colors and the recognition of things to the thing you want to do, and it's been of great use for people who do obscure stuff in in languages nobody else uses, so that's probably a major advantage.
Yeah, and even if you just do Objective-C, I especially myself can't imagine going back to Xcode, because what we did was to add to the syntax highlighting two major things. The one thing is that every Cocoa class is colored purple, so you have automatic code recognition this way, so you know if you have misspelled some basic Cocoa classes.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is that the reference counting thing in Cocoa is really big. You have to understand it to really do clean programs and to do the memory management. And what we did was to make all the memory management methods like alloc, copy, and release, retain, big red and bold, so you actually can always see the pair of them staying in some sort of code. And this is something that really was important to us when we cleaned up all our leaks.
Mm. And in terms of collaboration, we see two use cases for coding. The primary example is definitely pair programming as touted in extreme programming.
Yep.
So we used it ourselves to write major parts of the networking layer together. And the other use case is just simply when I write some code and I didn't really get it or have a bug in it, I just use the invitation feature to invite some of my colleagues and we go together through the code. So
very cool.
Just that simple.
It's really great for when you have problems.
Yeah.
So just being able to invite somebody and do this over the internet as well as in the local subnet. I often do help a friend of mine doing some HTML, HTML, CSS thingy, and he doesn't know how he should do it other way, and then he invites me, and then we just work it out. So we have the live web preview there, and then I change some things, do some CSS, and he says, "Oh yeah,"
uh-huh.
and it's really great for that because what you have to do without it, you have to paste some things into iChat and then say, "Yeah,
yep.
I did this way, it may be," and it's much quicker and it's really great.
So who is that talking offering free CSS advice? I need some help. We'll
Dominic
talk offline later.
Yeah, Dominic and Martin Pitten are our
Dominic, okay.
HTML and CSS gurus.
Yeah, okay, we'll get on iChat on Sabita edit later. Forget iChat.
Yeah.
In fact, for everybody out there, we're actually using Gizmo Project. I meant to mention earlier on to record this. The Coding Monkeys and I recorded some other things a couple months ago, but iChat and some other recording tools just really created some snafus that messed up a lot of things. So we're on Gizmo Project, which is a SIP-based chat client for voice and text IM. So you might want to check it out. And then the Coding Monkeys, just so you know, if you're trying to find them while we're talking, is codingmonkeys.de. Is that right, guys?
Yeah.
As in Deutschland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Germany.
All right. So what about, talk a bit about, you know, kind of your path to becoming, you know, coding monkeys in the Cocoa world, and maybe hurdles you had or challenges once you decided what app you wanted to build. Obviously, you had to integrate things like Rendezvous and the UI to make it work right. What were some of your challenges you faced, and how did you overcome those?
I think one of the challenges in all projects is actually getting started. So at the time in mid 2002, Dominic actually had the idea to make more out of our Cocoa development experience we had at university and make a product.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he pushed us monthly, later weekly, but we didn't get started. But eventually in December we sit together and had this brainstorming and this great idea, and then I think it just started. So you have to get the idea and the time, actually. Yeah, timing constraint is also a problem.
Yeah.
Because we were at university and had to do our studies, other developers had to make some money besides developing Cocoa software. So timing is always an issue.
And one big challenge we had at the beginning was of course the at that point missing documentation. So
we
wanted to do a network application and wanted to use CF network for that, but actually the thing we could use for documentation at that point was the actual WWDC session that was recorded, and the and one of us was a participant, so he actually had the DVDs, and but it was really hard to get on other information at that point. It's really great that this has changed a lot now. You really have good documentation when you want to start Cocoa now.
Mm. Well, I talked to Mike Beam, who wrote the first edition with, who was it, Davidson, for Cocoa in a Nutshell, and he faced the same thing. He says, as a developer in college, he couldn't find the resources he needed, so he approached O'Reilly about documenting what he had learned. And like you said, thankfully, a lot of that's changed.
Mm. Another challenge in the whole process was the trademark naming issue we had in August 2003. Yeah, we had to rename our app. So
what happened to that initial research on Hydra? Did that didn't dig deep enough?
Our initial research was very, very flawed. So actually, we didn't use the trademark databases that are around there. We just used Google and scanned the first about 200 hits or something
five
like that.
Pages,
and
yeah.
Yeah, five big pages. And we didn't find anything that that remotely had a relation with what we wanted to do there. So we thought, well, yes, we're doing something for free. What harm can be done? But actually, harm was done, and we had to pay about half of our winnings to some lawyer. To although we obeyed. Directly with changing our name, and this is a really a thing we learned, and we won't do again. So actually, if we do another product, we surely will go to the right databases and claim our name.
That's
also a recommendation for developers to start doing new products.
Don't be too naive.
Yeah, check the trademark databases. They're open. They're free. So.
Well, you can get a lot
There's
of that
no
research.
Excuse later.
You can't get that basic research done in India these days. They'll actually do research in most any Western country for much less expensively than you would in the USA or Germany, I would guess. So Cocoa frameworks have evolved substantially since you guys got started. What have you learned to appreciate, and what are you doing with the new things Apple's put out in the field? Bindings, for instance.
Yeah, bindings is something we adopted for Savisa Edit 2.0 in our preference panels. It literally saved us the actual shipping date at that point. I was wiring up the bindings according to our mode system, and literally the same day we shipped. And it worked great. So I wrote all this kind of GUI code before that has to do multiple selections and all this binding stuff. It's really great. Many people get to see problems if they use an NS Array controller and something like that, because they say it isn't customizable enough for their purpose.
Yeah.
What we are using it for, it's great, and it's not an ordinary table view, but it saves a lot of work, and we're really very grateful for that.
Yeah, as Dominic said, the whole preferences UI in Savisa 2.x is winded up with bindings, and I think another use of bindings is in debugging views. We have a lot of debugging views in Savisa for internal development. And it's so easy to wire them up with bindings. That's really cool.
And all the new great stuff that is in Tiger, we actually haven't had any use for it in our application at the moment. But I think we'll come up with some great ideas there.
Yeah, core data and core image are looking very promising.
Sounds like you're going to need some new brainstorming activities to come up with
a
couple of new apps.
Definitely.
They need to find the nearest Zoka cafe or start one. And maybe you could inspire some undergrad students there at your university to bring them along also. Let's see, what else do we have? You guys said you said you had to pay half your winnings to the attorney. Did you mean revenues or prize money from...
Prize money is from the Tony Awards. At that time, we didn't sell SubEasyEdit. It was still free, and we didn't have any earnings. So.
Mm-hmm. How's that worked out? I know you still have the free version, then you have a discount, or is it free for educational and nonprofit? Is that right?
Yeah, it's free for educational and nonprofit, and if you make money with it, we want some of it.
That's a good rule.
It's easy and fair, and
And are you? How are you handling the sales? Are you going through Kagi, or are you doing it yourself?
We're using Accelerate to handle the sales.
Accelerate, okay. So, is that working out pretty well?
Well, it's quite okay.
Yeah.
We're taking a lot of money, but they're doing a lot of work, so I guess it's okay.
Sure.
And I think it's a good choice if you're a developer. We are developers. We want to do this kind of work, and we don't want to do the administrative work that is concerned with all the billing and all the stuff. And this is something Accelerate and Kagi and all these services really do great. You get paid once a month. You have all the tax issues dealt with. And
doing the taxes and then billing in Germany and especially Europe is very, very complicated because each country has a different system and
different value-added taxes.
Yeah.
And we're quite happy at the moment to not have an accountant on our payroll.
Yeah. You don't want to feed them too.
Yeah. So we can definitely recommend to new developers to use Kagi or Accelerate or one of the services.
I heard of a couple of new ones too, so maybe we'll see some other innovations in that area, or some competition at least, bring down the prices.
Yeah.
So what are your inspirations to build software? You obviously started out as a project in university, but now you're talking as you finish your exams and you want to continue this and possibly build other applications. What are your driving inspirations?
I, for one, was always fascinated with good and great UI. I'm very into it from the very beginning. I'm not an original Mac guy. I was a switcher some time ago, but not from the PC, but from some more obscure platform which not many people know. This is Acorn RISC OS, which had some very, very great UI and concepts and was very consistent and allowed me to work really much faster than any of my competitors on Windows PCs or even Macs at that point. But this is where I got my drive to really want to have really great UI for stuff.
Okay.
For the OV task. That is a real time saver. And because if you're at such an obscure platform, you really have to make up your mind that you want to be there because you have so many drawbacks because you don't use the mainstream thing and this is about my this was my inspiration got started to do really really great UI and usable apps.
Why do you think developers and users on the Mac are so demanding of the UI versus Windows? There's hardly any demand for a decent UI.
One point is they pay for this. They really think they want people to do extraordinary things with the UI because they pay more than the others.
Mm-hmm.
This is one because they all put up with all these issues I had to put up with my other system too. Everybody that is not using a Mac says so many problems with compatibility and stuff like that, and although the situation changed quite a bit, you always on this point, what are you using your computer for? And if you have made that choice, you really want your apps to be better. You really want Apple to produce good software, and that you all your arguments, you can win your arguments with the others.
Okay. So someone else was going to pipe up about their inspiration. Was it Martin or Dominic?
Yeah. Another point of inspiration, I think, is as every developer, we have to solve. We want to solve our own problems. And SubEasyEdit, I think, was also driven by the problem that we were in our office and we're sitting in the opposite direction. And when we want to show the other some code or other text, we have to get around the table and so we're lazy programmers. We thought we could solve this problem via software, and I think that's a traditional inspiration source for every developer, that he wants to solve his own problems, and he can do it because he can write software.
When hosting this show, just for the short time I have, you know, in the last couple of months, that's the recurring theme I've heard from developers that are going to be coming on soon, and those I've already interviewed, is, you know, they started out solving their own problems, and that led to you know, something they were passionate about. It led to a great app, a great UI, and something that other people would actually pay for.
Mm. Yeah, but we think it's a very, very good way because it is, you are disconnected from the problem that you implement something that nobody wants, because you actually are your own customer, you eat your own dog food, you use your product every day, and you want to improve it, you want to make it good, and if there's something in there that isn't quite good enough, then you will make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can be your own customer, then be it.
One of the other inspiring things about being a Mac developer is that there's a really culture of really small companies on developing for Mac, and I think that's a thing that Coco is enabling by being a really cool framework, and that gives you the time to concentrate on the important things and does the rest for you. So that's another inspiration to do the company thing.
Yeah, Coco is just too beautiful to not do software in, especially if you have some comparison to if you have done some Java applications using Swing or some Windows applications. You don't want to go back there. It's really such a beauty in the design of the API and the use of delegates. It all fits. It all looks like it's made by one person.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something you don't get easily on other platforms, I think.
We can expect some poetry out of you about the beauty of developing for Coco.
Yeah.
Maybe a haiku. So none of you guys are tempted by Java and Eclipse and getting into cross-platform applications?
No longer.
Not really.
The tide has turned. Well, Brent Simmons said yesterday, I talked to Brent in Seattle yesterday about NetNewsWire and, you know, Ranchero, his company, and he said, you know, he felt like we're really in the golden age. You know, the frameworks have matured to a point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's really cool stuff happening on the web, and, you know, Xcode has matured. I mean, obviously, other tools, sub-Etheta, of course, but seems to be a great time to put your best work out there.
Definitely, yeah.
Xcode has matured is a good point, because actually at the beginning, using sub-Etheta as an external editor was great, because when Xcode crashed, you didn't lose your changes because they were in a different application.
Yes.
Of course, now this is different. Xcode is great, but at the beginning it was really some problem crashing Project Builder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was the Project Builder times.
So any closing thoughts? We'd love to talk and could talk forever, but we're coming up about 40 minutes and want to see if you guys had any parting thoughts about the state of development or WWDC, these sorts of things.
I think what is interesting is what you said just before. We have great times ahead because the framework's matured. Apple is putting a lot of efforts to make new interfaces, new technology a commodity for software developers, and I think you will see a lot of new great products, and I hope also from the Coding Monkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a golden age for small developers on the Mac.
Okay. Are you guys putting an open invite out there for Cocoa developers around the world to come to Oktoberfest?
Yeah, definitely.
You're going to host more than Buzz? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Well, thanks for your time. It's been great talking to you guys again, and we look forward to some great things from the Coding Monkeys. Let's plug the blog once again, or all three of you have blogs, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, everybody grab a copy of sub-Etheta if you don't have it already. Check it out, and be sure and comment on their blogs and on Coco Radio as well.
Thanks for having us, Blake.
Yeah.
All right. Enjoyed it. Talk to you again soon.
Well, that was a lot of fun. The Coding Monkeys are some great, great developers there in Germany. We hope to see a lot more from them in the future as they wrap up university and go full-time. Join me for show number 5 in the next few days with Gus Muir of Flying Meat Software. He is the creator of the award-winning VoodooPad, Fly Sketch, as well as his newest edition, Fly Gesture. Move a little, do a lot. So check those things out at flyingmeet.com, and I'll talk to you in a few days. Thanks.